We still got about 8 minutes, huh? So in the meantime, you got any question or whatever that you want to share, huh? You can ask. Oh, the lens came out, is it? Oh, yeah, yeah. Means the screw is loose. You send it to the spectacle shop. They will service for you free. Yeah. Leslie Sadu, yeah. Okay, before we start, maybe I can share with you all something that happened at the Taiwan trip so that you all can rejoice. Okay? Okay. Just for your information, or Kayanamitas, you can rejoice. For our Taiwan trip, recent spiritual come to a trip, we raised a total of about near to 10,000 ringgit. That is the pool fund for donation. And out of this about 10,000, we got 2,000 donated from our Kayanamita fund. 1,000 from Tuesday class. 1,000 from Thursday class. So you all can rejoice. Let's say, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And it's very wholesome. We have done a lot of great wholesomeness for everybody. And those who have donated too, I think the total come to about another 8,000 ringgit, total about 10,000. So we have reserved about 1,500 ringgit for donation to Ciji, Fo Kwang and Fa Ku San of Malaysia as suggested by that Thursday class before we left. Then the balance of 8,500 we converted Taiwan money. We donated almost all of it to a lot of these very wholesome way places. There are four major traditions instead of three. Now I discovered one more. Zhong Tai Chan Si was the fourth one. The great, what they call Mahayana tradition. So initially we thought Fo Kwang was big. So when we went there, we realized Fa Ku San was the biggest. The Dhamma Drum Mountain. And that place is very unique, very beautiful, very serene. The nature very beautiful. The buildings that they built, the meditation that they teach, they are foremost in meditation. That's why the meditation and the Dhamma there is very different, very beautiful. And all Kayanamitas who went, they really, really rejoice and they really can see the similarity of the essence of the teaching there. Just like meditation, they asked the Sijie that took us around. Then she explained meditation in the way his teacher taught them. The master, Sun Yan Pastor, who passed away about 5 years ago, 2009. So she said 16 Mandarin words. Those who can understand Mandarin, you listen, then we see whether you can get the meaning or not. He said, "Sen zai na li, xing jiu zai na li, fang song, quan ti, dou yao fang song." Can understand? Na shi chan, is it? That's Zen. So what do you get from there? Sen is what? Sen zai na li. Wherever your body is, sing jiu zai nali. What is the meaning? Body and mind as one. Understand? That's why he say in a different way. He say, wherever your body is, your mind has to be there. Then the other criteria is relax. Fang song, is it? 全体放松哦 ，not whole body relax 哦 ，means your whole being relax as well. Every aspect of your body and mind relax. So it's exactly what I share with you. Body and mind as one is siddhi, understand? That's why he say, 身在哪里，心就在哪里。So that part is very important because that is kaya nupassana, understand? Kaya is from the first foundation of kaya, your body. You anchor your mindfulness to your body. So when body and mind is one, you have siddhi. And when you stabilize that, you are able to develop the daily mindfulness, which is sati sampajana, and you can develop a lot of wisdom. Then after that, you naturally can move to the other three foundations of feeling, vedana nupassana, citta nupassana, and dhamma nupassana. Then the other three traditions is, the second biggest is Zhongtai Chanshi. Oh, that one was very beautiful too. The way they build it. And the founder has this, what they call very good understanding. He said, because people thought it's a waste of money, you get such a big piece of land, build such a great monastery, way place, then become like a tourist site. You know? Almost every tourist that go there visit this place because of the engineering, the architecture and all those things. But the master said it in a very beautiful way. He said it's not that we want this, but if it can be something that can bring forth the condition for all those people who come and visit, to have the affinity to recall to mind the great wisdom and great virtue and love and kindness and compassion of Lord Buddha, and to renew their faith. And when they come, if they can feel the peace, the serenity, and have the joy to appreciate such a way place, and to plant the Bodhi thought, understand? You know what is Bodhi? It's an enlightenment thought. To go this way, to take refuge. And this will renew their faith. And of all the many that come, even one or two manage to fulfill that journey is already enough. So that was the intent. Then you got this Fo Quang. Fo Quang was very big actually, the memorial which was recently built, but it's considered the third, the third in Taiwan. Then you got another one is Ciji. Ciji is also quite big, but they classify it differently because they are more like non-sectarian. They are based on merits, helping people, compassion in action. So any religion can go to Ciji to help and become their member. Then we also visited one place, I think it's Long San Si, I think. Long San Si was the last one. Shen San Si, Shen San Si. At that place, I sent the photo to the Mahayanamita site. It's also very beautiful, that one. Then we donate to all these places. Then there are other minor monasteries. The Fa Ku San got very beautiful Guan Yin images. Then Zhongtai Chanshi got this special Yao Si Fo, medicine Buddha. They have a lot of affinity with medicine Buddha. Then a lot of their different practices and what they call strength were described and explained to us, and they took us around. It was beautiful. Even the Fo Quang site. Then all these places we donate. Then a lot of people also donate on their own, above and on top of what they already pledged. So once again, we rejoice with all those who have done all this together with the Kayanamitas, through the Kayanamita funds. All this wholesomeness, you can rejoice and bring forth the Bodhi mind to make aspiration. It will help you. It will really help you. We rejoice one more time. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now we can start. 3 minutes past 8:30. So you compose your mind, develop your faith, sadha, then strengthen your mind, virya, determine, then pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. After that, we will start the puja. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami, Panatipata Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami, Adinadana Veeramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami, Kamesu mechachara veeramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sura avada veeramadi sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sura meraya majjhapamadatana veeramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Okay, very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So we had a 1 week break. So Thursday class was more lucky. You only stopped 1 week. Tuesday class was to stop 3 weeks because we went on Tuesday and come back on Monday. So that 2 Tuesdays was off. Then there was 1 Tuesday we also had to cancel because of Vesak. Remember? Vesak. So because of that, 3 of the classes were cancelled. Wuping Jingse also same. So in a way, Thursday class has more condition. So you all should rejoice. So after 1 week break, I hope you all do. After your Vesak, had also developed a lot of faith. So our spiritual trip to Taiwan was very good. You can maybe, if you know any of them who went, they actually can share with you the things that we do. And the condition were beautiful. Weather too, very beautiful. And when we were there, we were told there's severe earthquake too. And this Hualien side, But we were there actually. We didn't really feel anything. Then there was one place we went. Then Si Jie, I think, that received us. She told us what, you know. She said, that few days before you come, especially the last day before we arrived, it was raining like anything. It was in Hualien, no, that one. I think Shen San Si flooded everywhere, you see. The water was 2 feet above the foot, and everything was wet. So she was thinking, how are they going to receive us when we arrive the next day? Then she was so surprised. So suddenly the next morning, not only no rain, no sunshine. Then when we were there, she told us, you all must have good parami. All of a sudden, everything just changed. Then she was full of joy. So that was the first temple we visited on the second day in Hualien itself. So the temple was very beautiful. Some of you who has the WhatsApp, you can have a look. Then we also donated there. Many beautiful things. Okay, now coming back to the meditation. Can still remember how to train your mind, develop the meditative mind. So just briefly, for those who still need instruction. Those who already know how to meditate, you can start straight away. Then for those who still maybe need of some form of instruction, I just give you a quick one, a summary of it. You look at the whiteboard up there. There are two categories of Dhamma that you need to understand. First is the five mental hindrances, sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness and doubt. These are the hindrances that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of peace and calm. That's why you cannot have the silent mind, the heedful mind. You cannot have peace. You cannot develop sati is because of this hindrance. They are very powerful and they hinder your mind. Then this hindrance create habitual tendency, heedless thinking, heedless reaction of mind. That's why sensual desire, ill will, your like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience keep on throughout the day, make you heedless, and this become habitual after a long time. Then restlessness is your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, all of the evil root that you arise through your delusion, sakkayadity, self-delusion. Then doubt is your lack of faith, lack of understanding of the importance of the Triple Gem. You don't see what the Triple Gem meant. Then you don't understand the truth, that's why you have doubt. And sloth and torpor is a state of mind that is not serious about life. You take life very lightly. You don't see the importance of understanding life, to live life. That's why this hindrance continue to haunt living beings that are heedless. So in order to counter them, you need to develop the spiritual faculty, the opposite five of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya, which translate into faith or confidence in the Buddha and his teaching, the spiritual zeal after you understand how wonderful the Buddha's teaching is and how great the Buddha is. He is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born during his time. Then sati is mindfulness, awareness, before the knowing, the thought. It's just the silent mind, aware, without thought. Then samadhi is the collectedness of mind, the unwavering mind. Then you have wisdom, panya. When you have sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are with clarity. Then you will awaken, and that understanding is wisdom. And these five will counter the hindrance. So you don't have to fight the hindrance. You only have to cultivate the spiritual faculty. So when we start your puja, you already start to develop your spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, and sati. So now meditation is to train your mind to stabilize this sati or mindfulness. the faith and the virya, I think you can develop on your own at home. So here is to train and stabilize your sati. So for those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away start because your sati is already there. Then you can anchor it to your whatever skillful means or object of meditation to stabilize it. And for those who have already stabilized, you can straight away go into your silent mind to develop the wisdom born of that silent mind that can understand what is going on within your formal mind. And for those who are still heedless, who still need to stabilize their heedless thinking, you start off with the mind sweeping method. Mind sweeping method, you start with your forehead, then you sweep it down. When you sweep, you just feel relaxed. You don't think. You feel and relax until the whole body and mind relax. Then you combine with loving kindness, metta, like what I have taught you. You have read the book, all this will be very clear and very simple. Then after that, you can reverse the whole mind sweeping method. Then by then, you should be more calm and more peaceful. And then you try to stabilize that mindfulness that you have developed. We are anchoring it to the breathing. Mindfulness of in and out breath means the mind and the breathing as one. You're just silent and aware of the breathing in front of your nostril. Then you just relax, and the moment the mind detects the breath, you allow it to be mind and breathing as one without thought. And that is sati. That is mindfulness. So you continue to train. Every time it wanders off, bring it back. Wanders off, bring it back. After a while, it will stabilize. Then you will develop the jhanic factor of vitaka, vichara, leading to piti. Piti is spiritual joy, spiritual calmness. Then after piti arises, you continue to relax and stabilize. Your piti will become sukha. Then after a while, sukha will transform further to become what they call pasati. Pasati is tranquility of mind or stillness of mind. And that one can stabilize to become samadhi. Yeah. So with that, I think you can start your meditation. Yeah. I will ring the bell after about maybe 20 minutes. Yeah. I will off the light now. Okay? on all the switches. All. Thank you. Okay. Sadhu, thank you. One more day. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who are now, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Just like before, you must be very clear about what are you trying to develop. Meditation needs to be done with understanding. Means you know why are you sitting, why are you developing this meditation, and how you can develop it. For most people, like what we have gone through, you are here to develop the inner peace, inner well-being, leading to the clarity of mind, so you can develop the wisdom to understand the Buddha Dharma, the teaching, so that your mind can free, can liberate, so that you understand life clearly, so that you know how to live life, so that suffering need not be. Then you will have wisdom to actually live the noble life, the happy life of great peace, great meaning, and great understanding. Then there will be a lot of joy, a lot of happiness, a lot of peace, and a lot of meaning to life. Then life becomes meaningful and beautiful, no more like before. Before you understand the Buddha Dharma, most of you are heedless, encounter a lot of situation in life that leads to suffering, misery, unhappiness, constant fear, worry, anxiety. There are a lot of things like not certain. So that's why there's a reason why most people, they try to seek the spiritual understanding to overcome all this problem of life, so that they can be free, can be liberated. Of course, most people start to search for peace, inner peace, because inner peace is very difficult to come by, and without inner peace, very difficult to have inner well-being. True or not? Yeah? True or not? Why you will require? Yeah? Without inner peace, can you have inner well-being? Yeah? Can or not? When you are very healthy, let's say, without inner peace, that health is of not much meaning, understand? You can be very healthy, like a kid, run around, very energetic. But there is no inner well-being, understand? Inner well-being comes from the peaceful mind, understand? That know how to relax, know how to experience the beauty and wonders of life, knows how to live. That is inner well-being. So when you have inner peace, very easy to develop inner well-being. Without inner peace, it's very difficult. And without inner well-being and peace, it's very difficult to meditate. Because the mind that is not peaceful cannot train itself to be aware. And without awareness, you cannot develop sati and samadhi. Without sati and samadhi, you cannot develop the understanding of life, the clarity of the mind to awaken to all of the laws that governs life and existence. Means you cannot see things as they are to realize the characteristics of nature, to develop the wisdom, the requisite wisdom to free this mind, so that it's no longer deluded. Okay? So this about summarize what you need to know and why you are here. Then the training of the mind, I already explained. If you are still heedless, you need to train this heedless thinking mind, mundane mind. When it's trained, it's peaceful. It is aware. Then stabilize it by anchoring it to an object of meditation, which is your breathing, if you are familiar with it. Otherwise, you can use any skillful means. It can be chanting, rising and falling of the abdomen, or dynamic meditation, or any of the object of meditation that suit your character and your nature. Then after it's stabilized, this mind will have the spiritual faculty, saddha, virya, sati, accumulating the samadhi. When these are established, wisdom can arise. Then with the five mental faculty or spiritual faculty, the hindrance can be overcome. And then you can meditate very easily. And you'll find that you will be more peaceful throughout the day. And with that inner peace, you can actually train the mind. Then inner well-being will come. Then clarity of mind will come. Then wisdom will come. Then that mind is very different. Okay. So now we move on to the second stage or second part of the meditation. Second part is Q&A, question and answer, plus reporting of meditation. So you can make use of this session to ask me any question with regards to meditation or the Dhamma, and also how to apply and use the Dhamma. Then you can also report your meditation experience and ask me whatever question that are related. Okay, so tonight we open it to the floor. So make full use of your condition. Anybody? Yeah, Alan, yes. Oh, use the mic, sorry. Pass it over, thank you.
Radhika.
Yes.
Actually, I have sent an email to you, just in case I forget what I want to ask.
I replied to you too.
Oh, you replied.
I just replied before I came.
Oh,
you want me to read it out now? I have it in my phone.
Yeah.
Easier.
Okay.
So you don't mind. It's a very good question. And she did very well. So I will read to you, Your Honor. Okay, this is the question. Meditation progress, seeking guidance, the title. So she wrote to me. She said, "Dear Pratio, welcome back from the Taiwan spiritual trip and hope you all have rested well." So thank you for that. "I would like to know how should I proceed in my meditation practice and cultivation, and would like to seek your guidance and advice. I've been using the breath and the heartbeat as the anchor for meditation, and have been practicing the daily religious routine and the five daily contemplation diligently. Since early this month, I had also seems to feel the pulsation and tingling sound of all my cells within my body throughout the day, including the ability to hear a wider range of high-pitched sound. I've actually been hearing high-pitched sound all my life, but earlier on, I thought I have hearing problems." So now she knows that was not the case. "Since about a week ago, the breath and the heartbeat became very subtle. The sound has subsided." You know what is this sound? What is this sound? The chattering inside the mind. The mental chattering. This is not your talking. This is a mental chattering. Means the sound has subsided. This is very good. Then after that, she said, "And when I sat down for meditation, I realized I don't need the anchor anymore. And so the object of meditation is no longer required anymore. And I can reach the state of calm and stillness almost immediately. That is true. That can happen for very, very good meditator. And it's not difficult. Can be done. But for people who are not diligent, who never really develop the religious routine and the daily practice, it can be very difficult. But if you do it like her, not long, I think a few months only, she can develop this vision very good. Then after that, I continue. I realize I don't need the anchor anymore and can reach the state of calm and stillness almost immediately. I'm aware of the ripples of thought, see? The thought that arises, pass away, ripple, like ripple, that floated in. But most of the time, I'm not drawn into it, or dragged into it. However, it is not yet stable, she knows. I usually apply the first four of the five method to deal with thoughts that floated in. But I find I can easily silence the mind. Whenever feeling arise, sometimes I react, like when the neighbor is cooking or frying something pungent like onion and chili. I noticed I immediately salivated. Luckily, the mind didn't go further. It is a natural response, understand? Because you have this form of mind, your consciousness is trapped inside. So when the sense, like smell, understand? When it smells something, the saliva naturally will come out, understand? So don't try to suppress. Understand what it is. Then let it flow. Do not resist. Okay? Then everything is okay, understand? It doesn't mean that, oh, I must now suppress everything. I must not have craving. It's not like that. Craving is attachment. But as long as you understand what this is, and you can actually live with it, with understanding, it's nothing, anasana. Just like when you have a cut or a wound, anasana. Doesn't mean you're enlightened already, you don't feel anything. You still feel, anasana. The tactile consciousness is still there, anasana. The only difference is, you're no longer deluded like before. Go and cry and become miserable, understand? Tactile consciousness is consciousness. They come and go, condition like that, it's like that. You will feel it. But if your mind react to it because you are conditioned to react like that. And you don't like this style of unpleasant feeling because the mind labels it. But you accept it as just tactile consciousness. Neither pleasant nor unpleasant. This is the reality. Because it has a cut, it has a wound, it has to arise. Understand? What must you do? You accept this reality, then do what you must do. Understand? You need medical treatment, attention, you go. You complain also no use. Understand? Cry also no use. Understand? So when your senses is around, there is condition for it to arise, contact, then that consciousness will arise. But when it arises, like this smell thing, because you are so conditioned to react, your saliva will come out. Even as I speak, I think a lot of you, saliva also come out, as you hear the reporting. It's because initially it's like that, you are not trained. Even if you are trained, sometimes it still come out. But nothing wrong, understand not? Because as long as you don't attach and cling, so what? Arise means arise. Then you know it is just the body and mind phenomena. Understand? It has to be part of nature. Just like this body will grow old, get sick, and one day die. So that reality you accept. Understand? You don't go and react and demand that I must not get old, get sick, and die. There is no such thing. Then she go on and say, I notice immediately. I noticed I immediately salivated. Luckily, the mind did not go further. Should I just continue the practice in this manner until the mind become very stable? I also noticed that after a period of silence, the mind tend to look for something to do. Is this restlessness of mind? Yes, because initially, even anagami, you know what is anagami, the stage of sainthood, they also have restlessness, understand? Because the mind is like that. Before the avijja ignorance completely ceases, restlessness is still there. That's why this hindrance is not easy to root out. I will elaborate further. Thank you, relative, for your guidance, compassion, and patience with utmost respect and humility. And she signed off. Okay. I replied to her, you just listen attentively. This will be very useful. I said, dear sister, mahas are due to you, for you had progressed very well. Continue to just silence your mind and carry this state of silence into your daily mindfulness. And this is very important. You can do it in the form of meditation, no problem. But daily mindfulness is again another cultivation. So that throughout the day you can be aware, heedful, and peaceful. Your mind is like very quiet, silent, and still. Doesn't really stir anymore. Then after that, carry this state of silence into your daily mindfulness until it is very stable. Then the understanding and the Dhamma plus the awakening will happen by itself whenever the conditions are right. So be patient. Don't be impatient. But it will still take a while. Depend on what you have cultivated in the past, your past life. Learn to be aware of your subtle craving. And now you have to look at your subtle craving, your subtle aversion and fear. Learn to see the subtle reactions of mind and the ego or atta. The atta is the center from which the thought create the I and the me entity. You realize everything is there is a motive behind by the entity that form in mind. The atta is still very strong. The atta that call itself sister what and what. I am what and what. Then I see, I hear, I feel. I like that, I like that. The atta is very, very strong. That one take time. Then after that, learn to be aware of your subtle craving, aversion, and fear. Then learn to see the subtle reaction of mind and the ego or atta, which is the center from which the I and the me manifest clearly. Okay? You don't have to remember. It's in your email. Then others also don't have to remember. They are recorded. Then later on, when your sati or mindfulness stabilizes, you will be able to be aware of all the aggregates of mind. If you can reach this stage, you are very near to enlightenment. Your mind can be at the moment of feeling. It will stay there. And you will feel, really feel with the silent mind. No movement, like Krishnamurti said. Awareness is the silent, choiceless awareness of what is. It will stay there and feel. Then you can be at the moment of contact, moment of perception, moment of activity of mind, moment of consciousness. All this, the silent mind that is very stable, your daily mindfulness, they can experience them. And when you have that understanding, you will develop a lot of wisdom. Then you will come to know many, many things. Then all of the Buddha's teaching, very fast you understand. Then you reflect, contemplate, especially using the second turning wisdom. You keep on understanding. I read to you. Learn to see, I repeat, learn to see the subtle reaction of mind and ego or atta, the center from which the I and the me manifest clearly. Then later on, when your sati stabilizes, you will be able to be aware of the aggregates of mind. There is moment of feeling, moment of contact, moment of consciousness, activity of mind, perception, etc. Then wisdom will keep on arising whenever you do the second turning of the Four Noble Truths. You know what is a second turning, You understand, very good. The first turning is hearing the Dhamma as proclaimed by the Buddha, or whoever reads it out to you. Then second turning is to reflect and contemplate on this Dhamma, the Four Noble Truths, and inquire Why did the Buddha say this? How can I understand? Then how do I investigate into all this? So all this constitutes second turning wisdom. Cintamayapanya. First turning is Suttamayapanya. Then later on, when you meditate, the third turning, Bhavanamayapanya, will keep on arising. So whenever you do the second turning of the Four Noble Truths, contemplation via Dhamma investigation, the wisdom will arise. Okay? Then in the form of meditation, continue to stay at the heart until it's like no more heartbeat. You will reach a point, like very subtle, until everything is like going to be very quiet and very still and very tranquil. And that is sparsity, silent, completely silent. Then you will experience stillness, tranquility, very deep stillness and tranquility. During that time, it's very, very beautiful. You stay at the heart until it's like no more heartbeat. Then continue to relax. The key is relax some more, because when you reach that state, actually, you are already very relaxed. But you have to relax some more, anasana. Because the body, the physical, together with the mind already, maybe no more stress, very relaxed, because it is full of understanding, a lot of joy. But the body need to be relaxed, because the body still carry a lot of this, what they call stress. You cannot see it, the very subtle one. So if you continue to relax, then you trust your nature. At that time, don't use thought anymore. Don't interfere anymore. Just allow. Let things be. Accord and flow. Don't resist anything. Don't arise any thought. Just silent. Continue to be relaxed and silent. Then after that, you continue to relax and trust the nature until you are naturally aware. Then silence everything until the cessation of form and mind comes about. It will happen. But it will only happen after you have penetrated the direct seeing, the awakening, the third turning one, when your wisdom is already very established. Regarding your question, I also noticed that after a period of silence, the mind tend to look for something to do. Is this restlessness of the mind? So I reply here, yes, it's restlessness, but just allow it to be, anasana. Don't worry, because the mind will manifest. You only need to understand through wisdom why it's like that. You trace the origination factor, but when you are there, silent, don't try to think and contemplate. Silent means silent. It will understand by itself, the silent mind. Do not resist anything. And finally, it will settle down. See, all this restlessness, it will settle down on its own. If you use the third way that the Buddha taught, that is, just silent and aware, no need to know anything, just silent. Allow it to be. No. Then one day, you will realize profoundly, the word is profoundly. Think also like that. Don't think also like that. And then cessation of form and mind will start to happen. That is when you will realize Nibbana. But this thing also like that, don't think also like that, is a great profound wisdom. By then you have understood the three characteristics of nature, impermanent, suffering state, and non-self or empty nature, very clearly. Then everything is sankhara. Then you will know sankhara anicchang, sankhara dukkang. You think also like that, you don't think also like that. The moment you think and hold, suffering comes to be. You don't think also same, think also same. Because human being is always like that. Every time worry about this, worry about that. This one not done, that one not done. Then sometimes when you feel sick or you fear death is coming, especially as your age catch up, what do they think? What do they think? The thought will come, no. My will not yet done. I haven't settled this, haven't settled that, no. My children how? My wife how? my all those loans, mortgage out. Then what happened if my family members come to know? So all this is thought projection, understand? But you will reach a point where you understand what? Everything is just anatta, empty, not real. Think also like that, don't think also like that. Understand? No reality, understand? Everything is just the way it is. Do what you have to do. Take care of your karma. Develop your spiritual perfection. If you have done all this, that very instant, the form and mind, the breath can stop. No more problem. The mind doesn't carry anything. Where you understand very clearly, everything is empty, no reality. But the moment you try to reason, you get into big trouble. Then as long as you want to think, believing that thinking can help you to solve your problem, you will never realize cessation, I tell you. As long as thought is active, Nibbana cannot be realized. And Nibbana need wisdom, nothing else. Okay? Then I read on the final part. Oh, finish already. Oh, that is the final part. One day you will realize profoundly, think also like that, don't think also like that. Then cessation of form and mind will arise or happen, will start to happen. By and with metta, always. So that's it. Then I put a PS. I need you to do me a favor. I just finished this Wu Ping Ching Se short notes. It was the April talk. It was a very good talk. And Miss Lee was so hardworking. Instead of preparing short note, she found the talk so good. She go and do like a transcript. And it was now 20 pages. And I just finished it. At the Taiwan trip, I told some of the Kayanamitas who were there that this transcript, when it come out, it will help you all a lot. It explained very clearly. We had that day at Wu Ping Ching Se. It's meant to be that Krishnamurti quote on awareness. Awareness is the silent, choiceless awareness of what is. That one was very beautifully explained. So I sent it out that afternoon, 1 o'clock. No, 3 o'clock was the class. No, and you know, 2 or 3 of the Kayanamitta there, they printed it out. And because of that, we have the condition to share. And it was so beautiful. Maybe I read to you all a little bit of it. I need you to help me to format it. Well, I'm very lousy at doing all these things. The worksheet, I saw your format very good. When you transcribe the clang talk, you all clang people are very lucky. Sui An sent the recorder there. That talk on Samatha Vipassana. She transcribed the whole thing. After she heard the talk, she came back. I think she must spend at least 1 or 2 nights until very late. And it was very well done. But I don't have time to do it yet. I only completed, I think, 1 or 2 pages before I went to Taiwan. So after this, maybe I will look into it. But that one will be easier. Except it's almost 30 pages, I think, that one. It was a 2-hour talk. So all these are looks like meant to be. So if it come out, it will help a lot of people. I will read to you this, the Wu Ping Ching Se, the one that I mentioned. I have to search for it. Okay. Just give me a minute. Okay, I got it. Okay, you all listen. Lesson 5 of the Satipatthana Sutta and Meditation class at Wu Ping Ching Sir. Short notes to assist in the understanding. This one turned out not short notes anymore. It's almost a transcript. So the title I put initially as Pure Land Chanting. Is it meditation? Well, somebody asked. So coming back to the question, it is the same, just like what Sister Monica said. Chanting is only one of the skillful means or method and technique used to anchor your mind so that it is not heedless. But the Pure Land type of chanting is more than that, because in Pure Land tradition, they have this great faith in the Buddha and the Bodhisattva that they chant. And due to the great vows of these Buddhas and Bodhisattva, it can arise the causes and conditions for them to develop the very strong faith to connect to their vow. And since their vow are very heavy and powerful because of their great virtue, wisdom and perfection, hence all these vows can become part of nature's law. And they will manifest and respond on their own. That is, you don't need to have the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas to be around all over the place to listen to you or respond. Understand that? That's why a lot of people cannot understand Mahayana teaching. They say, how can you appeal or pray to Lord Buddha and Kuan Yin Bodhisattva for help and all those things? It's not pray, understand? It's through your faith and your confidence in them. Just like the Buddha says, Sada, when you have a lot of Sada in the Triple Gem. The Buddha and the great Bodhisattva, they are part of the Triple Gem, understand? So what happens when you have very strong faith? You can make aspiration, you can determine, you can use your merits, your blessings, your goodness, your wholesomeness. You can invoke power of merits and goodness and wholesomeness. And you can determine assertion of truth by the power of this truth, like Angulimala. Since becoming a monk, he has never killed and he has never violated the precepts and all things. By the power of this truth, may whatever arise, you can use. Then you can determine through your faith in the Buddha and the Bodhisattva. You develop this aspiration to connect to their vow, because their vow is very simple. Whoever who recites their so-called Buddha's name or Bodhisattva's name, they call Pho Hao. Amitabha, Amitabha. So this is Amitabha's Mohao. If you recite it sincerely, there will be a response. And then you can connect. Then it can actually arise the causes and conditions to guide you and to help you. Then you can make your aspiration. I will read on. Because of the Buddha's and the Bodhisattva's great vow, you chant with understanding, see? And you do it sincerely with very strong faith. It will help you to develop a very strong affinity with them. And that faith and affinity will connect you to their nature and their vows. And their vows will bring forth the causes and conditions to assist you to progress along the path of Dhamma, and help you develop the five spiritual faculties needed for you to develop the meditation. That's why even though you see them like only chanting, but in actual fact, they are training their mind to be heedful via mindfulness of the Buddha's name. Their faith in the Buddha's name will arise the very strong sadha or confidence due to the repeated chanting with understanding, leading to the virya, which is a spiritual zeal. They were determined to walk this way because of their faith. Then together with the sati or mindfulness developed via chanting, when they chant, they also do the walking, bowing, and reverential salutation, asana. So this is how they develop sati. It will bring forth the sati, and because they do it so sincerely and so well, it becomes samadhi. So it will bring forth the sati and samadhi needed to develop the clarity of mind, which is the meditative or silent mind without thought, to see things as they are, to arise the wisdom, which is the last of the five spiritual faculties. So when sati and samadhi are established, then during every moment of their daily living, when they see something, hear something, smell, taste, or tactilely feel something, they are very different because they are no longer heedless like before. Understand that? Well, that training is very different. And with heedfulness, there is clarity, and their mind are very peaceful, calm, and just aware most of the time without thought. And this is possible because they hold on to their mantra or vow with faith, and they do it very sincerely and very diligently. So to develop the meditation, we only need to develop the five spiritual faculty, which will help us overcome the five mental hindrance. True or not? Then what happened? The mental hindrance that hinders you from becoming peaceful and mindful. So these five mental hindrance, you don't have to fight them or worry about them. Once the spiritual faculty of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya are there, the hindrance will cease to be. Then the mind with Sati and Samadhi will have the clarity to see things as they are, to arise the wisdom or Panya needed. Then their mind is no longer heedless, and they will no longer see things with the conditioned mind. That is, no more seeing with their views and opinion and the egoic mind. And their thought will no longer interfere with the direct seeing, which will lead to the awakening, understanding, and the enlightenment. They will see the dependent origination within their own form and mind. They will start to understand the Four Noble Truths on their own. Then they will start to see clearly what the Buddha meant by the five mental hindrances, the five spiritual faculties. They will also see clearly the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion within their own mundane mind, and why the Buddha called them evil roots. They will also come to understand how the seven factors of enlightenment come to be, and how their sense bases actually function. That is how, upon contact, consciousness and feeling comes to be. And because they have sati and samadhi, they will also have the ability to see clearly how through delusion one is conditioned into negativity, grasping, clinging, and attachment. Then how suffering comes to be. Then when they are just silent and aware, this is very important, they will come to understand how the arising of the non-arisen hindrance of mind come to be. Then later on, when they continue to just silent and aware, that's why you don't have to do anything, they will come to know how the disappearance or abandoning of the arisen hindrance comes to be. Then how through non-delusion and wisdom, they will come to know how the non-arising in the future of the abundant hindrance come to be. And how all these are possible. This is how they will cultivate the satipatthana or form foundation of mindfulness. Then via sati, they will also understand how their mind stirs via their delusion to react to sense experience, to arise the craving or the evil roots, to condition their own suffering. This is how Pure Land chanting can also lead to enlightenment in the here and the now. Then I put that note. Sati is awareness or mindfulness before the knowing, and samadhi is the collected and unwavering silent mind. So these are very beautiful and important understanding. Can follow that? Cannot follow? Wow, so shallow like that. Hey, really serious? It's so clear, so you cannot follow. Means you totally don't know what the Dhamma is all about. This is so difficult to put together into words, understand or? And you want to cultivate to develop this understanding, you don't even understand the basic Dhamma. How to cultivate? That's why you go back. You must really put in the diligence to develop your own understanding. Otherwise, not easy. If you do it, it's very easy, not difficult at all. For those who have done it, they will rejoice. I leave it to you. Your life, you decide how you want to live. If you have such condition, you let it go, you yourself will regret in the future, nobody else. Okay, I read on. Sadha or faith will make your mind confident, composed, and very calm. Hence, no more restlessness and doubt. Correct or not? Huh? When you have sadha, your mind is very composed and very calm. Correct or not? Then what happened? No more? Restlessness and doubt. Isn't it? When your confidence is there. This is how you develop it. Understand? That's why sadha is very powerful. I read again. Sadha or faith will make your mind confident, composed, and very calm. Then what happened? Hence, no more restlessness and doubt. And when there is this, what they call faith, virya will arise. Virya is spiritual zeal. So when virya arises, you will not be sleepy anymore. Correct or not? Yeah? Sloth and torpor no more. Because this virya or spiritual zeal will drive you to diligently cultivate. Then when you have sati, you got no more thought, you are no longer heedless. Understand not? You are mindful and always aware. And your mind is always with the moment in sati. And when you stabilize it, samadhi will arise. With samadhi established, the mind will be collected and unwavering. Hence, it can see things as they are to understand the truth and the reality, leading to the wisdom, which is panya. Once these five spiritual faculties are cultivated, you will automatically know how to meditate. No need to have teacher after that. That's why when they chant until the four hour or the Buddha's name and the awareness become one. Like there is no one chanting, just an awareness of chanting, awareness of the vibration. At that time, you will be very different because the five spiritual faculties that are so stable will transform you. Then throughout the day, even when you are not chanting the Buddha's name or the Bodhisattva's name, you will also have that type of mind. It will like chant by itself. You don't chant also, it will be there. There was this very soothing and continuous chanting of Amitofo, Amitofo, Amitofo in the background. So as I listened to that chanting, which was repeated many times on the background, I was also able to follow and chant it so naturally and so mindfully. That's why I can chant it until it become like very clear to me. Then one day while I was driving, this was about 20 or years ago, then all of a sudden this chanting just arise from inside my brain. And there was such clarity that I stopped my car somewhere and silenced my mind to listen to it. It was like the mind and the chanting was in complete harmony and synchrony as one. I remember initially I was chanting. Then all of a sudden it was like no one is chanting. Then everything stopped. Then somewhere underneath my brain from behind, the chanting automatically come out. And the mindfulness on it was so stable and so clear. And it just stayed there, fully aware of everything. That's how I came to know this type of Pure Land chanting can also develop the five spiritual faculty of Sadha, Virya, Sati and Samadhi, leading to the wisdom, and how the mind can become one with it. And there was a realization that there was no one to chant. And the nature within is just aware, fully aware. The chanting just repeat itself and there was just an awareness of it. So the real chanting is very different because there is no one to chant. It is just the mind that is aware of the phenomena, whether it is physical, mental or nature's phenomena. In this case, it is a mental phenomena. So all these are possible when you have properly developed all the spiritual faculties until they are very stable. Then even in the midst of your daily life, your mind will be very different because of the stability of your sati and mindfulness. You will be able to see your mental intention, your aggregates of mind, like your feeling, perception, activity of mind, emotion, mind states, and all of your mental intention, etc. This is what I meant. Alan. You, when you can reach that state, you are very, very near, including the consciousness. Then you will see your own physical and mental flow. And after that, you will be able to use it to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness. And your wisdom will keep on arising. The four foundations of mindfulness cultivation will bring forth the enlightenment, because the cultivation of the four foundations of mindfulness will accumulate into the cultivation of the Four Noble Truths. Then the Four Noble Truths, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, is the Noble Eightfold Path. Sorry, the Fourth Noble Truth, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, is the Noble Eightfold Path, because it leads to the end of all suffering, which is the enlightenment in the here and the now. So finally, whatever meditation you do, if it does not lead you back to the Four Foundations of Mindfulness, the Four Noble Truths and the Noble Eightfold Path, then it is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So I put a caution. If you think chanting alone is the meditation, then you are deceived. Understand or not? Chanting is just a skillful means. Chanting is just a technique or a skillful means to initially train your mind to develop the spiritual faculty of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya, neither to overcome the mental hindrance. After that, only the real meditation begins. That is, after your five spiritual faculty has been cultivated and your daily mindfulness stabilized, then only the real meditation, which is the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, really begin. And within the Noble Eightfold Path, we had the Samasati Path Factor, which is the cultivation of the four foundations of mindfulness, which is also the focus of our Dhamma discussion. Hope this is clear, and that is also the reason why I always advise you all that meditation is to be done with understanding. Otherwise, you are wasting your time, and you cannot progress because you are not focused, and you are actually doing it without proper understanding. So be very clear about the whole teaching. One must understand that the essence of the Buddha's teaching is the Four Noble Truths, and how from there all the other teachings come to be. How and why the Buddha highlighted the importance of heedfulness via Dhammapada verse 21, 22, and 23, and why one must understand what is heedfulness. Heedfulness is sati plus meditation, meaning ever mindful of the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. That is the reason why the first factor of enlightenment is sati, because without sati, there is no meditation. And without sati, there is no heedfulness. And according to Dhammapada verse 21, without heedfulness, you are as if dead, spiritually dead. All these are very clear. So to connect and develop the meditation, one must train one's mind to be heedful. This is the reason why the first category or the first foundation of mindfulness, Kaya Nupassana practice, is Anapanasati, which is just to train the mind to be mindful or aware of the in and out breath, to do just that. Then stabilize it and use it to cultivate the four posture, mindfulness of the four posture, leading to the daily mindfulness to develop the other subsequent foundations of mindfulness, training and cultivation. So all this, when you understand, you will know how to proceed. Otherwise, you just debate. You will just debate. Because most living beings are gullible. They think meditation is some fantasy, like very mystical. Then when they meditate and develop some form of experience that other people don't experience, then they think this is very special. Then they attach, they cling, and they want to know, is it a sign that they have achieved or realized? That's how they debate, because they don't understand what their focus is. Why are they there meditating? And what is meditation? When you don't have a clear understanding of what you do, you end up keep on debating. Then you end up having fantasy about meditation. That's how many cultivators or meditators got trapped. And the other danger is they cannot see thought. They cannot see the danger of thought. They cannot understand what sati is. And because the D is beyond thought, and if you continue to allow thought to come in and distract you, then it will become thought-based meditation instead of mindfulness-based meditation. All of thought-based meditation will not bring you to the meditative result that you are looking for, because what you want to realize, which is the Dhamma, is akaliko. Akaliko means timeless. This Dhamma is beyond thought, beyond time. So if the instrument you use to meditate is thought, you cannot reach it because you are limited by the instrument you use to develop the meditation. So with this, I think it should be very clear by now that you shouldn't make the same mistake again. And by now, you all should start to understand why I keep on emphasizing in the past that meditation has to be done with understanding. You don't just blindly follow instruction. Just like what the Buddha told the Kalamas, you should not believe what the spiritual teacher tell you, even the Buddha himself. You have to investigate and find out for yourself. Then when you understand, you will be very clear. Your mind will be very different, and you will know how to proceed with the cultivation. Otherwise, you become gullible. Then again, you debate. Almost 10 o'clock. I will read a bit more. There is a question by Sister Chui. He's asked, "Brother Teo, I'm afraid I have to ask this somewhat simple question. Sati in Pali means mindfulness or awareness, because I see the word being used interchangeably, and sometimes I just get confused. Can you please explain again? Thank you." You got a question, huh? Then I answer. Okay, it's a very good question. You see, sati is a Pali word. It is translated as mindfulness, a very commonly accepted translation. But nobody really inquire into this word, mindfulness. If you split up the two words, then you get the meaning. Mindfulness. Mindfulness means mind in fullness. But you never inquire and ask, what does it mean? So let's say now we start. The translator said, sati is mindfulness. So from the English word, you can conclude that it is mind in fullness. But you never ask, the mind is full of what? If you say full of thought, then that is definitely not sati, is it? Correct? Sati is awareness before the knowing. So it is full of what? Full of what? Awareness, very good. Then Sister Chui interrupted. He said, "I actually define it as mind in fullness of the moment." What do you think? She says, sati is mind in fullness of the moment. Also can. After I answer, you will know can or cannot. You listen. Aware of the moment is good. But he never say no. He said, mind in fullness of the moment. No. It still doesn't explain anything, right? When you say mind in fullness of that moment, what are you trying to tell me? Because within that moment, you can also think, isn't it? That is mind full of thinking within that moment. She again interrupted. No, Brother Teo, you can't think when you are in the moment. He never used the word when you are aware in the moment. How can you think? You are supposed to be. Maybe he used the word mindful. I didn't hear that part. Then I answer her. You can be in the moment and still think. But when you are in the moment without thought, then it's a different thing. Understand? Mind in fullness, full of awareness. Understand? And then you are without thought. That's why I said, you never inquire, full of what? When mind is full of awareness, it cannot have thought. It can only be aware. This is sati, understand not? But that word is not used. Understand not? Only in subsequent years, later teachers used the word. Then they try incorporating them now. Previously, you never hear this word awareness, isn't it? You only hear the word sati and mindfulness, isn't it? That's why I put here. Then they try incorporating them now. That's why awareness now becomes a new word. The actual word should be pure awareness without thought. And then that is sati. But they went on to confuse it with another Pali word. And then they say it carries the meaning of remembrance and recollection. Then they say sati has a lot to do with memory or recollection. You often heard of this, isn't it? Yeah? So what is sati? I don't want to know the history. Because when I meditate, and this is my personal experience, I can be with the moment without thought. Hence, I can understand what sati is. That's why I know what sati is. Sati is mind in fullness, full of awareness without thought. That's why I say sati is awareness before the knowing. And you just aware. Why can't you just be aware? Because you think a lot. You are so heedless and you are seldom aware within the moment because of your habitual tendency of heedlessness. Or habitual heedless thinking. You also have a lot of fear, anxiety, and the hindrance of mind, like sensual desire, ill will, restlessness, and doubt, keep on arising to haunt you. Hence the reason why you cannot be aware. Understand, huh? Then this part is the best. Awareness before the knowing means what? What is knowing? The knowing is your thought, understand not? Your aggregate of mind, that is, it is just an awareness before even feeling or perception arise, before the labeling, the words and the views and the opinion interfere. It's just like what the Buddha said, in the seeing there is just only the seeing consciousness. And there is no one to see, just the pure consciousness arising, the pure consciousness before you input the content of consciousness. Or just the pure direct seeing without the words, without the labeling, without the conscious mind focusing and perceiving through memory to recall, etc. It's just a general spacious awareness, just aware without a center. The moment thought comes in, the moment thought comes out, it means you have already focused and recalled through memory. And that's not sati anymore. So when you want to understand what sati is, you need to have a very, very calm and silent mind. If your mind is not silent, the true nature cannot shine forth. The true mind cannot come out because your mind can only do one thing at a time. Either it's aware within or it's lost in thought. Heedlessly lost in thought. The human being, because of their heedlessness and their delusion, they are constantly lost in thought and seldom or hardly aware. That is the reason why the Buddha said, the heedless are as if dead, spiritually dead. Then Sister Chui asked again, then is it okay for me to think of the four foundations of mindfulness as the four foundations of awareness? Is it appropriate? Yes, you can say that. It's not harmful. But later part in the sutta, they add in the word sati sampajana, which is clear comprehension. So you're not only mindful, you must also have clear comprehension of what you are mindful of. That's why the third category of cultivation under kaya nupasana is awareness and clear comprehension of what is going on, or sati sampajana. There is clarity. Then there is also internally and externally. All this you will slowly understand when you cultivate. Before you cultivate, and when you had not realized the enlightenment as yet, it is very difficult for you to use your mundane mind's rational thinking to try to understand. When you use thought, it is very difficult. That's why Miss Lee print out this J. Krishnamurti quote on what is awareness, which I just sent out for sharing today. Maybe it is meant to be. Then I asked Ing B to read out. Please read out the J. Krishnamurti quote. So she read it out. Awareness is the silent and choiceless observation of what is. In this awareness, the problem unrolls itself, and thus it is fully and completely understood. A problem is never understood or solved on its own level. Being complex, it must be understood in its total process. To try to solve a problem on only one level, physical or psychological, leads to further conflict and confusion. For the resolution of a problem, there must be this awareness, this passive alertness, which reveals the total process. This passive awareness is the silent mind, non-discriminative. You call it the choiceless awareness, understand now? Non-judgmental, silent, don't react, nothing. So that is the mind. Yeah. Then I explain. Can you understand this daily code? What is silent? Not just don't talk. Silent here means no chattering. Completely no mental chattering. Yeah. Just like what Ellen described in her question. Yeah. It can settle down very fast. The sound subsides and the sound up. So this is what chattering is all about. No mental chattering means no thought. That's what awareness is. But sometimes when you are silent, it doesn't mean you are aware, because you can be doing a disciplined attention. You silence your mind like no thought, but you have a thought inside there that disciplines you. We are saying, I must be mindful. True or not? You always meditate like that, understand not? You want to be mindful. You want to be aware. Correct or not? This is where you get caught. I must be mindful. Then you are no longer mindful or aware. You know why? Because the thought is active now. It starts to arise. That's why don't try to be mindful. Can you understand that? The trying is by the thought. Because the trying is by the thought. But instead, just maintain silent. The moment you are silent, you are already aware. Don't do anything. Understand that? But your mistake is, you busy want to meditate. Understand that? And who is the meditator? The thought is the meditator. The thought want to be aware. The thought want to know. The thought want to do this, do that. I read on, you will understand. That's why don't try to be mindful, because the trying is by the thought. But instead, just maintain silent. The moment you are silent, you are already aware. So why do you want to be aware or try to be aware? The wanting and the trying is the egoic mind, the thought. Understand not? During one of the recorded Satipatthana workshops, I heard this funny question that they asked. You know what they asked or not? They asked, who is aware? You heard of this question? They always ask, who is aware? And aware of what? Very logical, isn't it? Correct? If you inquire this way, then you already got caught. Understand? It is the thought. Understand? Who wants to know? Understand? So what happened when you do that? Yeah. If you inquire in this way, then you will get caught, because you thought awareness is annoying. Understand not? So this is the reason why you ask, who is aware? And aware of what? This is very logical, isn't it? But because most people's sakkāditti or self-delusion is so strong, so how can they be aware? The thought always wants to be aware via verbalizing. That's why it is a focused attention. Focused attention means the thought wants to be aware. The thought is still active behind the awareness. So how can it be aware? The thought is trying to be silent, to be aware of what it wants to be aware. So the moment you want to be aware of that thing, you are no longer aware. Awareness is just silent and then choiceless. Means what? You don't try to make a choice. There is no decision of what you are aware of. Like the Buddha said, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness. And there is no one to see as yet. It is just the consciousness just like the physical experiment. Upon contact, the light bulb lights up, which means the consciousness just arises naturally. Can't you just be aware of the consciousness, the pure awareness, or the pure consciousness before you input the content of consciousness? The trouble with you is you are so fast, and via your memory, you already label it as flower, book, etc., because of your conditioned thinking. That's why you cannot be aware. In order to see, you must have this ability to be silent, and you must have sati and samadhi. Otherwise, these aggregates of mind, they will arise very fast. The mind stir, and you come out. Sorry, and they come out so fast, and you cannot do anything about it. So that's why when you read J. Krishnamurti quote, sati is awareness. And awareness is what? Awareness is the silent and choiceless observation of what is. What is the reality before the labeling, that actual thing. So don't try to go and develop a duality to react to what you see or observe. That's why it is just choiceless observation of the reality of what is. And what is means the isness of thing or the reality. Isness is also suchness. That's why the Buddha is called Tathagata, the Tathagata, who is an expert in Tathata. And Tathata is suchness. So the choiceless observation of what is observing the isness of thing, or is just the silent awareness of the reality within the moment. That's why you can see things as they are, not through the words and the concept. Then Sister Monica asked a very good question. In one of my meditation on Thursday, correct me if I'm wrong, she said, whether there is sati or not. I can hear the talk that you were delivering, and I know that there were brothers and sisters around me, but there was this joy in me I wasn't thinking. And I know that it was after the whole thing that I started to recollect back. I was so joyful. I know that there was Brother Teo delivering the talk, and there were people around, but just that, and then nothing else. What do you think? Huh? Is that sati? Huh? What do you think? You want answer? You don't want to try? Okay, I answer. Then I reply to her. I say, okay, sadhu. Because when you listen attentively, there is no interference from your thought, from your opinion, your views, your conditioning, etc. You don't comment inside there. You just listen attentively without any reaction. And that's what choiceless awareness is all about. But the moment you perceive or the mind recognize or cognize, that's already the mind coming out of sati. But in her case, she is very good because she did not allow it to continue to think. Understand that? Which means there is awareness. Then there is the perception of Brother Teo talking. Understand that? How do he know? There is a perception. Understand that? All the vibration, etc., just going. Then if she wants to understand, she can understand when you are in sati. But she did not arise any thought to interfere. You understand that? There was just this joy. Which means there is no views, opinion, and conditioning coming out of it. Just an open mind that listens. No right, no wrong. That's how I investigate with the silent mind to find out whether it is the truth or not. When I can listen attentively without thought, it means I have very good sati or awareness. And this is Dhamma investigation. Understand that? Choiceless awareness. You're just aware. You don't go and kepo inside, no. Hey, the book say like that, not like that, wrong. Brother Teo say something else I never heard before. Then you are not listening anymore, understand? You are no longer aware, understand? There is the thought commenting, understand? Judging, reacting. It's not a choiceless attentive awareness or choiceless observation of the reality. It's the mind trying to interfere, comment, react, and do things. That's why when you do that, you are no longer aware. and you can never understand truth and reality. I will go on with Jai Krishnamurti quote, and you will understand better. The quote says, awareness is the silent and choiceless observation of what is. Then it goes on to say, problem will always exist where the activity of the self, S-E-I-F, L-F, are dominant. Can you understand this statement? What are activity of the self? Self is what? Self is the ego, the personality, the I and the me, and this egoic mind is your thought, or the five mental aggregates of form and mind. When there is sakayadity or self-delusion, then this thought becomes egoic, which means the thought will have selfishness, emotion, doubt and fear, etc. And they are part of the three evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. So it's actually like what the Buddha taught. Problem will always exist when the activity of the self, conditioned by self-delusion or sakayadity, are dominant, or when the three evil roots are there. Because when there is this self-delusion to grasp and cling on to the form and mind, thinking that it is you, whether it is a human being or the five mental aggregates of rupa, vedana, sanya, sankara, and vijnana, then suffering will arise. Any of these five aggregates of form and mind, you grasp and cling through self-delusion, thinking that feeling is you, that all these external form you see, you can own them or possess them, and thinking that all the perception that you perceive and label are real, also you can own them and possess them, including all of the views and opinion that you are holding on to, plus all the phenomena and things that you become conscious of. You can grasp and cling on to them. We are giving them meaning. Then suffering will follow you. Hence the reason why the Buddha said in the First Noble Truth Final Summary, in short, the five grasping aggregate or upadana khandhas are dukkha. So the teaching is exactly the same, because the thought which is the five mental aggregates, if you grasp on to them as the me and the I via self delusion, then suffering will arise. Or like what Jai Krishnamurti said via his daily quote. So problem will always exist where the activity of the self are dominant. To be aware, then after that I think he continued. To be aware which are and which are not the activity of the self need constant vigilance. Constant vigilance here means constant awareness. Means constantly aware and heedful. That is when the evil roots are there, when the self is there, when the selfishness, the emotional negativity, the fear and the manifestation of the mental ego are there, you have to be aware. That's what vigilant means. The Buddha used the word constantly aware, which is the same as vigilant. That's why in certain books, heedfulness is also translated as vigilant. So it is only when you are constantly aware, only then you can do something about it. Otherwise you cannot, because the mind is so fast. Then what did Krishnamurti say? This vigilance is not a disciplined attention or focused attention. But awareness has got nothing to do with the thought. Who discipline? The thought wants to discipline. The thought wants to be aware. The thought wants to maintain attention. And the worst is, the thought wants to meditate. Understand? And what happens when the meditator, which is the thought, is so actively meditating? What happens? When your thought is actively meditating, you are no longer aware. Because when your thought is active, how can you be aware? Understand? Now you can laugh. Because that time they laugh. But last time, you just follow instruction and do without understanding. You are just gullible. Correct not? You can recall not? Last time when you go retreat, what they teach you? They give you all the instruction in there. Note this, note that in there. Aware of this, aware of that. Note standing, standing, standing. Lifting, lifting, lifting. Rising, rising. who is noting. The thought is actively noting. And then later on they tell you, no need to verbalize. And then how you do? Without verbalizing, how you do? Sound, sound, sound. Cannot say anything. How you do? How you do? When you do your meditation last time in the retreat, how you do? Huh? Who is doing the awareness? Who is trying to be aware? Because you think there is a person who tried to be aware. The mind is the problem. The mind is the mundane mind. It is the thought. Yes, you can ask the question. Yes. I use the mic better, so that it's recorded. Okay, you can continue. Push it out, push it out. Yes.
Sorry. You're talking about the thoughts. What I'm asking is,
yeah,
I'll be able to note, aware of the thought, and just let as is it.
Okay, so what happened? What happened when you say the word "I" able to be aware of the thought and aware as it is? Understand not?
Just aware as is it.
Yeah.
Even with the thought.
Yeah. Is that what you want to know? So what happened when you do that? Because the I, aware, that is the egoic mind. Understand? Why can't you just silent? No concept, nothing. Don't try to be aware. Understand? Just silent. And when you do that, what happens? When your mind does not react, like the Buddha said, the third way, just silent, aware. What happened? The awareness got no thought, no concept.
That is sati, right?
That is awareness before the knowing. You can call it sati or whatever Pali name that you are comfortable with. But the more important thing is that one doesn't have any labeling before the knowing. It's just silent. The silent that can know the silent of nature. You know what is silent of nature? It's not a hearing consciousness, no. Understand? No? Because silent don't have vibration, no? Correct? No? So, without any vibration, there is no contact with the hearing. There is no hearing consciousness. No? Whereas hearing consciousness, there is a vibration, there is a sound, everything. But when there is no sense data, when there is no hearing consciousness, what is the thing that is aware of silence, of nature? And that is the true awareness. That is your true mind, your essence of mind. That which is aware, just aware, before the knowing. The moment you know, you try to be aware, that's why you say, my awareness, or I aware of the sound as it is, or of the word as. That is the thought already, understand? When you just silent, the essence of mind can be anywhere. It's the spacious awareness, no center. Then because it's trapped inside this form, it has the sense basis. You have to off the other one, otherwise the vibration come out. Okay, thank you. Then when it's just silent, and because this mind and this consciousness is trapped inside this form, the sense basis is connected, understand? That's why any contact, it will be there, where, but before the concept come in, before you know anything, before the mind arises. So you continue to be silent, you're just silent. Meditation is just silent, don't try to do anything. The doing is by the thought. The moment you do, you are heedless. You are no longer aware, and you cannot do sati and asana. You cannot be thinking of anapanasati and asana. Am I breathing in, breathing out? That thought is no longer aware. When it's aware, the awareness, the mind and the breath as one. No thought. That's That's why it's very different. This is a relaxed natural awareness. There is no focusing, no concentration, no discipline. That's why the real meditation is not what you think. Because you are so used to thought-based meditation. Without thought, you cannot meditate. Understand? And to reverse this is not going to be easy unless you have developed sati. The moment you understand what sati is, your meditation changes overnight. You will not do those things anymore. So, don't worry. Wait for the transcript to come out. Wait for the short notes to come out. Tomorrow, I should send it to Ellen. I hope she can do it properly. Then we send it back to Sister Lee for her to print out. Then Thursday class can print out. Tuesday class can print out. Then whenever you got no question, we go into that one. Then you can go back and read. Then ask any question to develop your understanding. Yeah, this one, when it come out, it will make clear a lot of things. And it will help in the understanding of what is sati. And that one is very important. You don't even know what is sati. How can you do sati patana? Understand? How can you be heedful and aware? Because you don't even know what sati is. Sati is very important. For sati is the first factor of enlightenment. If you don't know what is sati, very difficult to develop the understanding of the Dhamma. Because without sati, you cannot investigate the Dhamma. The second factor of enlightenment cannot come out. Without sati, there is no four foundation of mindfulness. Without sati, there is no noble eightfold path. Without sati, you cannot be aware of your mental intention. Without sati, you cannot understand things because you cannot see things as they are. You always see with your conditioned thinking, see with your thought, see with your reactive mind. Understand? And that is not seeing. That is seeing with the conditioned mind, clouded by thought, views and opinion. That is not the direct seeing. The direct seeing is without thought. You see things as they are, without the label, without the word, without anything, like a baby born, no memory on. You just see things as they are. And then that phenomenon, when it moves, the characteristic will show up. Then you can understand clearly how it manifests, how it comes and it goes, how the characteristic comes to be. The impermanence, the suffering state, and the non-self, and how when your mind latches onto it, how when through delusion it stirs and become afflicted, and how you get yourself entangled with the phenomenal, how you grasp and cling to all the aggregates of mind that arise, and through your sakkayadity, your self-delusion and ignorance, you grasp and cling and give meaning to them. That's how suffering can arise. It is all just understanding the form and mind, understanding the nature behind sati, to see all this very clearly. Okay? Can follow that? Wow, 10:30 already. We have to end. So I rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Today one can understand or not? I think should be very clear by now, isn't it? Still cannot understand it. You have to go back and work on it. Understand or not? I don't blame some of you, because some of you are new. But for those who are serious, they can understand because they really, really diligently cultivate. And then it's very easy. But if you don't cultivate, easy thing can also be very difficult, understand? Okay, we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Then after that, you make your aspiration. Oh, that one is given by my wife. Everybody has one at least. She brought 3 packets, he said. Should be enough. Yeah, mochi. Okay, sharing our merits with the devas. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transform merits to departed one. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives, and may they all to be well and happy. Okay, now invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo asatu kalena sasa sampati heto cha vito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich harvest throughout. May the world be prosperous and peaceful always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Okay, now you make your aspiration. Imena punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patia. By the grace of this marriage that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Then we end.
For sharing the Buddha Dhamma with us tonight by sharing Sadhu Sitan.